that's the biggest agenda we have as a company, is like making agents be able to do what they should be doing, which is just either helping a client sell their home or helping a client buy their home.
Hello, welcome to episode 171 of the Smart Agents Podcast. As always, my name is Michael Walter and I'll be your host. Joining us today is Cody Tritter, Managing Partner of Real Estate Partners based out of Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Closing more than 500 transactions a year, Real Estate Partners is on the cutting edge of digital marketing and lead generation. For Cody, the marketing side of the industry is where he thrives, building powerful campaigns and implementing systems to convert leads into clients. His goal is to provide the agents on his team with everything they need to simply focus on providing their buyers and sellers with unmatched service. Throughout our conversation, Cody shares some of the tactics he uses to generate leads, why he believes employing local ISAs is vital to the team's success, and how artificial intelligence is beginning to impact his marketing efforts. But before we get on to today's featured interview, the all-new Smart Agents magazine has launched and is full of insights and strategies designed to help real estate agents grow their businesses. Inside, you will find interviews and advice from leading real estate professionals, marketing tips to flood your business with leads, and even swipe and deploy files full of practical tools to enhance your business. Subscribe now to receive your copy of the printed magazine each month and instantly get access to our online agent community and members-only templates. Click the link in the episode description or go to smartagents.com/magazine. Also, if you enjoy this conversation, be sure to like and subscribe. The Smart Agents Podcast streams on all major podcasting platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and of course, YouTube. And finally, if you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com. We're always on the lookout for new stories to share. All right, let's get on to today's featured interview with Cody Tritter. If you're interested in hearing more from Cody, I've included links to his social profiles in the episode description.
Really, the way I like to start everything out is if you could just introduce yourself to us a little bit, where you're at and who you're with.
Yeah. So my name's Cody. I'm with Real Broker, that's our brokerage. And then I run a team. We're called the Real Estate Partners, but that was the first name we kind of brought in. Our branding, though, our trademark is RepYYC, and that's kind of what we're known for now. Mm-hmm. And that's probably where we'll go in the future as well as we expand out to other markets. You know, it works well, you know, the airport code there.
Right. Yeah. I was about to ask you what that stood for.
Yeah. So it'd be like, you know, it may not work in some like Rep JFK. I don't know if people would do that, but in New York, but it works here. It works in like Toronto's YYZ. So there's a couple markets that we could do it in.
Awesome. Very cool. So what was it that first got you interested in real estate?
One of the first jobs I actually got out of high school was with a realtor, and I was kind of like his assistant. And I wore many hats. I was like, I did everything from like putting doorknobs on handles in the kitchen to like new marketing initiatives to calling FSBOs, which he had never even heard of. I was like online being like, hey man, like what if we call these people on Kijiji, which is like a Craigslist or I don't know but like a marketplace out here in I'm in Calgary, Canada. And I said, what if we call these people on here that are like selling their homes privately and just seeing if we can spark a conversation? And then I started landing him listing presentations, and it was kind of a cool way to get into the industry. Unfortunately, like, just worked out of his home and stuff like that, so it just wasn't a great place long term, but it was a way I got my feet wet. Did a bit of school, did a bit of the corporate world, and then just decided that, you know what, like, the opportunities in real estate are kind of endless if you really treat it like a business.
Right. So then what was it that, you know, once you kind of realized that and wanted to get into it full time, you know, what did you do and who did you kind of hook up with?
Yeah, I was in a good space. Like, my wife and I were kind of, I'd gotten out of the insurance industry. And my, like, the first foray into real estate, I kind of probably did what 90% of agents do in our marketplace, which is you just get licensed. You're kind of on your own little boat, just trying to figure out and navigate the waters. I tried to do it on my own for, I think I went 3 months as a solo agent and just wasted my time doing the silliest things. Like, I think I spent over a month on just my website, like myname.com, building out community pages, doing all these things that I thought were going to be like, long-term, this is going to pay off. Long-term, this is going to be a good, right? Not focusing on like building a pipeline, which is what I should have been doing right off the hop. And fortunately, a couple people that I had kind of onboarded to my brokerage with had joined a team in one of them and suggested, like, why don't you meet with my team lead and just get a taste of what they're doing? And it kind of opened my eyes up into a whole different space of the industry and how much it, like the evolution of what a team could offer right then, which was, is going back 6 years ago now, was insane in comparison to what like the average agent was doing.
So then kind of joining that team atmosphere, was that where you were really able to kind of dive into, you know, the different marketing tactics and kind of the lead generation?
Yeah. And it's funny because I think I lasted probably like 6 months on that team as a realtor. And then I ended up becoming their marketing guy and just started like growing the marketing side of it. And they were heavy into sync. They had generated a ton of leads. Like they'd just done an amazing job. But a lot of everything that they were doing that I saw was just like plug and play solutions. Like they would just connect with this people, plug it in, play, and a lot of it was good to go. And the room for improvement was just astronomical. Right. And I could just see that like the, and investing, like, I mean, like if you truly, if you put 40, 60 hours of work a week into a real estate business, the ROI is massive. If you're doing it right, right. If you're listening to the right people, catering it to what, you know, suits your, you as a person kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of, you know, really taking off into the marketing space, what was it that, you know, you were doing specifically and some of the things that you saw that could, you know, bring improvement that really kind of exploded the team and got you to the success that you guys started having?
Yeah. So it kind of evolved. So from there, I've worn a lot of hats. So from like the graphic editing space to video editing, like, and it's all self-taught. It's I'm not against like the college education. That I think it, you know, serves a good purpose and it, and for a lot of people it is a great structure, but the amount you can learn of just hard skill or like skills on YouTube and not just YouTube, but like just paid even coaching programs, I think can serve people a lot further than they really know. And so like just started building those marketing skills, stacking them. And one of the agents on the team who I was shooting a ton of content with, my business partner now, Dusko, we were just chatting and we're like, hey man, like you and I could, we both work. Like we both like working. We both like staying up late. We like to, you know, grind. If you and I take this work ethic and put it into a team, think of the possibilities. And fortunately, it was around timing where they were actually deciding to switch away from the RE/MAX brokerage, which we were big believers in. And they just, they wanted to go and do their own brokerage. And it was kind of a, it was a position where it was like, hey, like I'm now going into two different, I have two different options, which neither of them are really guaranteed. So like, if I'm going to go all in on something, I'm going to go into a path that's going to be my own.
Yeah. So just kind of backing up there a little bit, you know, going from, you know, being an agent yourself and bringing it out and then going, you know, hardcore into the marketing. And I guess you left your kind of license behind and went all in on the marketing.
It was kind of a, yeah, it was kind of a catch with them. Like, you know, cause they were giving me a lot of access under the hood, their leads, like the database and stuff. Right. So they didn't want to have someone who could just like yank it and, you know, and I mean like it, not having my license at the time wouldn't really stop that. Like it's not like it's, you still, it's, you're being honorable. Right. But that was kind of the condition of it. They really wanted me to focus on being that marketing guy, being in that position. And I was okay with that. And then, I actually didn't get my license back. Even as we started the team, I went without a license for, I think 2-3 years until we went to a real broker. And then I went and got my license again. And yeah, it was kind of nice. So I didn't have to like, and the thing is like, I love people. I love selling homes. I'm an investor. Like we've got multiple properties ourselves. So, and I love renovating. So like, I love that space, but, I just see the, I don't want to say limitations of it, but they're just, there are some limitations to massive growth and the potential on the other side of being, you know, more of an entrepreneur, business owner.
Right. So speaking of that massive growth, tell me a little bit about how things really kicked off for, you know, your new team and, you know, just the explosive, really, I mean, it was explosive growth that you guys saw pretty quickly.
Yeah. I think, yeah, for us, it's, I'm a big believer that like, you can't just have reliance on one system, but you do need to nurture certain systems, you know, more than others. Right. And so for us, our biggest one was online lead gen. I knew the space very well, knew how to generate leads. And we were willing to put in the money, like we were willing to invest into the actual you know, jump off of it. And I think that's where a lot of people, because this is the thing, like I always say this too, like we used to be very secretive when we first started our team of every little thing. It was like, you know, someone would ask us, hey, what do you guys do? What site are you on? It was like, not, hey, yo, all good. We're not doing that. Right now I'll tell anybody anything for the most part, because it takes work. It takes hard work to do it. Like just having a robust PPC campaign, you can't just leave it. Like you can, but it's not going to be, you're not going to make the most of it. Right. A website, like anybody can have an REW site, a Sierra site, a Sing site. But what are you doing with it that's actually going to make it stand out from others and convert and, you know, be worthwhile? And so to answer your question, I think we basically, you know, a big attribution to our growth was just like one, showing up and being responsible to the business, and then really like nurturing the proper systems that we knew were going to, that had the ROI there. And so online lead gen, I mean, it's a space that, you know, obviously everyone's going to, not just like on the agent side, but buyers, right? So we knew that was, that's, and it's going to continue for a long time. So it's a space we were like, let's try and dominate that.
Right. So what were some of the avenues that you were, you know, really kind of focusing in on when it came to the online lead generation?
In Canada, I think the best way you can do it is just the robust, like social media, PPC, like or SEM campaigns, like brand awareness, Facebook leads, like that, like generating leads like that. And then just the straight IDX site. And then the real juice in that is like having the right systems, because like, again, like I've had guys sit down across from me. Me and my operations manager do 3 to 5 interviews a week. And I've had tons of guys come up to me and say like, hey, I have hundreds of leads in my database. And I'm like, well, where are they from? What have you been doing with them? Who's been talking to them? Because like all that stuff matters, right? A lead's a lead, right? Like, you know, there are obviously better leads that like put their hand up and say like, hey, I want to go see this home, right? But like people that are forced reg, there's no difference between them and if they organically landed on the site. It's still about their timing and motivation. And if nobody's qualified them, if nobody's talked to them, right, they're, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, was that a big part of what you guys, when you set out to, you know, kind of build out these systems, is actually having the people and then the systems themselves in place to, hey, when we get this lead, we actually do need to be there and talking to them.
And you guys probably, yeah, everyone says it all the time, speed to lead, super important. I'm a huge believer in local ISAs. So like we hire almost, and when I say local, I mean like local to Canada. Mm-hmm. So I've hired a few that are, you know, outside of our city, but I really love having people in our city, because they can talk to people like they're human, right? And it's like, it, like that conversation, like my ISA is, the second I hear them getting into like checklist mode, I'm like, detach, detach, detach. Like we don't want to, you're building rapport with someone. Like this is something that's important to them. And if they just think that they're just getting the checkbox, that's the experience they're gonna be expecting even with our agent. And that's not what we deliver. So like, let's set the expectations high right off the hop.
Well, and I like that, having somebody local also, because it helps, you know, kind of foster that sense of community that you're trying to build with your agents and the people that are moving into the areas that you serve.
It's a huge part of even our training with our agents. We learned early on that like it, and it's shocking to me, but like the amount of agents that don't know just community knowledge, like the communities in our city, there's 200 and some, so there's a lot, but like if we're in any part of the city, you should be able to generally tell me like, this is here, this is here, this is here. And then deeper than that, you should tell me like, hey, what kind of plumbing should be here? When were these built? What, you know, what's the price point roughly, right? And you get deeper and deeper in that knowledge. That's something we train every week with our agents. We pick a few communities, but we also get our ISA manager in that meeting to kind of condense it, break it down, and then pass that along to our ISA team so that they just have that general reminder knowledge of like, hey, this is what's going on in this community. This is what's going on here. We even enable them with like maps, like price point maps, like where areas might have like poly B. So we're not advising, but we're just telling, like, it's just knowledge that they can have so that if someone does say like, do you know if there was poly B in that area? They can look at their little guide and be like, yeah, absolutely. There could be poly B because it was built around this time.
Yeah. So, you know, when it comes to having these ISAs, I have to imagine that really is helping your agents be, you know, just when they do get one of these leads turned over to them, you know, the conversation is already far down you know, the path of where it would have been if they were reaching out to these leads cold. Yeah. But then it also has to be freeing up their time to where they're not making all of those cold calls.
And that's probably like the biggest, I'd say, that's the biggest agenda we have as a company, is like making agents be able to do what they should be doing, which is just either helping a client sell their home or helping a client buy their home. Right. And like, there's a lot more to it if you're really taking it, you know, the way it should be taken and really going through a home and being thorough about it. But it's hard to do that if you've got to do all the other steps to get that person even at that spot, plus the other, you know, the paperwork and all the other things that come along with it. So we have a robust admin staff too that really take off all the heavy lifting stuff to make our agents be able to, and even lifestyle. Like, I want people to be here long term and have lifestyle, right? So if they're not, like, our top producers can't be top producers if they're just constantly calling and constantly on the phone, right? So that ISA like buffer helps us keep them busy in the times where they're really, really ramped up and doing 7-8 deals. Now, next month, we can keep them going with 2 more deals because they got ISA leads as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, for bringing in these leads, where, you know, what kind of, you know, specific, you know, there are specific marketing campaigns that you found work better than others, or do you really kind of try to have a across the board approach to where you're getting people wherever they might be coming in?
It's, yeah, I'd say like, there's no, if there was like a one trick pony, you know what I mean? It would be great. I'd say like PPC itself in general is a great model if you can stomach it and if you can really nurture it the right way. The ROI is there, but for us, it's a broad approach. Like, it's a very broad and a constantly evolving approach. Like, every week, every 2 weeks, I'm in our PPC campaign trying something new, trying a new set of like maybe community specific things, or we've even done things that are like current events. So if people are looking up like something in a community, we're really trying to hammer that AdWords of like, hey, this is like, you know, a cool event going on in this community. Well, I'm going to throw up an ad on there and try and see if we can leverage some of the interest in the city and the buzz about it by putting PPC on it, kind of thing.
Right. Well, and that goes back to what you were saying, is you can't just set it there and forget about it. You really have to be involved and constantly tweaking and kind of turning the levers of those PPC campaigns.
Yeah. Yeah. And admittedly, like, we don't even do it all ourselves. I have, because we run, it's one of our other approaches that I actually am really happy we did. And I think it has added some complexities to our whole operation, but from the onset, we had a Roost site, we had a Sierra site, and a Sync site, and now we've got even more than that. We've got Chime, we've got all the right. But I'm a big believer in actually just testing out and piloting all these other platforms and having them run, you know, different things against each other, testing them that way, right? So, for example, even like, we have a luxury site, CalgaryLuxuryRealEstate.com. That site is, all my PPC is very specific to luxury stuff, luxury campaigns. It's actually a nice way to kind of keep it separate even from our Sync site, where we drive more of our general traffic, right?
Right. And what was it, you know, that made you want to go that route? Because I know, like, bringing in all those different things can be really overwhelming, you know, but I really like the idea of testing, you know, having those platforms to test things out to where it's not all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah. And that's like, that's a lesson I learned being on the marketing side before I got the team going, is that like, I'll say this to everybody, like software as a service, do not trust it. Don't. And my biggest example right now that I'll give you two, Google and Dropbox both offered unlimited storage. Google offered it for $10 a month, went to 15, and then they pulled it. And now it's like, if you wanted to have it, it's like $200 a month with multiple users, right? Dropbox just did the same thing. I had 3 users, and it's like, you can't depend on one service to be your be all end all. So if you don't have hardware backups of those, right? And now that's probably where we're going to go, is just local area storage, because we're like, these cloud guys are killing us. Like, we're willing to pay for it, and they're just stripping it back. And the same with the websites, right? Like, I'll say this is folklore I'll create, but REW was the SEO company for real estate websites, let's say 8 years ago. And they still are in a lot of ways, right? But they had such a stranglehold on the market. And then when they flipped off their barber, this is my theory, this isn't fact, disclaimer, this is just my theory on, you know, so when they flipped off the Barbara Corcoran theme and went to a new one, I don't think Google liked it as much as the old themes did, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why you still have some people with those old themes, even though they're the top people in Canada in these markets. They maintain those old themes on their sites because that little bit of change could be the catalyst that drops their site traffic from number one to number seven, and now they're useless. And their whole business could hinge on that. And that's why for us, even PPC is big, but we do invest in SEO. We have SEO companies we work with because as a whole, I can't rely on one thing to feed 30 families. We have 30 agents, right?
Right. So when you are testing things, and I think this is where a lot of people get, where they trip up is, what kind of time frame do you give your test to evolve? Because, you know, you go too short, you're not getting the right data, you know, it's skewed. But if you go too long, maybe you've blown a whole bunch of money and it's just not getting any better.
I mean, I'll slap my hand and say I probably go the too long route too many times. Personality type, I don't like to cut ties too quickly, right? So I go too long a lot. And I also think, like, I'm always thinking too, like PPC companies we work with, SEO companies, like where they dangle that carrot for us a little too long and you stay on. On the tech side, sometimes it's just the attitude of the company, right? And so it's like, even if they're not there, but if they're promised to grow, it's truthfully why we moved to even this brokerage. One of the big reasons is like just the forward thinkingness of it and the openness, like what they're trying to do. If you're in a brokerage where you're just, if you don't know what you don't know. And if like, you don't know even what's going on their end. And it's very just, hey, if we release something, we'll let you know. It's kind of hard to really like get behind it and grow with it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think even when it comes down to not even necessarily the working with the different companies, but you know, the words that you're going for or the types of content that you're creating, you know, I personally tend to let things go a little bit longer too, because you never, you know, like sometimes I can get a little too in the weeds of, okay, what day of the week did this go out? What was going on? You know, like were the kids going back to school? Like what was actually happening then?
Yeah. And even like, sometimes you have like little blips that like bring you back in. You're like, hey, well, look, we did good this month, so maybe we'll keep it going. And then, you know,
What, so, you know, obviously, like looking at your guys' pages and everything, you're also very big into, you know, video, you know, content creation and things like that. And really kind of, I thought it was cool. Like there's a lot of different personalities that you see on your pages. You know, how important was that for you guys to make sure that there's a lot of different people being highlighted within your company?
That's probably the way we kicked off this company and why we kicked it off the way we did is that it wasn't a singular focus on anyone. It's, you know, and that's why the Real Estate Partners is our, you know, our home brand kind of thing, I call it. And that's where we'll grow our greater presence as a whole. Eventually we're going to, like, I'm working on a agent focused website, for example. And like, that's where that partner side of it will come in as more of a collaborative space. Cause I think the industry, it's lacking it, right? Especially, I think even the US does it better. Canada, we're starting to get more on board as the cloud-based brokerages, but I mean, I'm limited in my purview of it, but I just say that like the sharingness of it, of the industry collaborativeness could be better.
Yeah, absolutely. So, when it comes to actually doing those types of that content, how do you guys, you know, first train up your agents? Cause I'm sure there's probably some of them that come in that maybe aren't exactly the most comfortable being on camera. So what are some of the things that you do to really kind of work with your team?
Yeah. On the content side, we don't do a ton of like most of our training with our agents is technical liabilities, script training, that kind of stuff. When it comes to content, like we have a full-time, and this is how we scale everything. Like we, you know, as we scale and grow, and we create a budget, we're like, hey, how can we invest back in this business? Right. How can we grow this bigger? So then we bring on we had, two editors at one point and a videographer. And we just found that, for us, even as a company to manage that many people, it's like we were getting stretched a little thin and then the output just wasn't there. But I'd say, for agents, like it's just act natural, you know, like I think there is a great way to go the Brad McCallum route where you like absolutely, and he's in our market, so I'm sure you know him, right? Like he, puts on production like crazy and that's like his avenue, right? I think there's space for us to get to that level of production one day. But for us, like as a whole and the scalability of it, it's tough, right? Because like, I don't think he does it as much anymore, but I know in like his past videos, like he's putting a week into that video of like production and editing and all that. And it's like, we can't do that, right? We have, like, and if our agents ever want to take that kind of stuff on, like our agents will sometimes come to us and say like, hey, this builder, you know, I have an opportunity with them. And so we'll support them with as much marketing and other support from the team as we can. Like we're really big on the graphics and material and that stuff to like guides so that when they land in, they're going in with a nice presentation, they're looking professional. But then we let them run that project. We don't want to be involved in every single element of it. We just want to make sure our brand's protected, good messaging is going out, but they can, you know, run that space. And that's how we can really grow and evolve as a business, you know.
Yeah. And you mentioned that brand, and again, you got it there on the mic, and I see it on the shirts and everything you got. You know, how important was that for you guys to really make a conscious effort to, hey, this is us, and you know, you're more than welcome to ask us questions about it.
It's super important for us, and I don't even think it's where it's going to be long term. Like, I don't think the brand even has the recognition we want it to in the city quite yet, but it's starting to get that, like, you know, people are starting to see they're like, hey, and like, right. But for clients, it's super important because they're part of that like family. It's like, hey, you got the rep gear now, you got the hat, we have jerseys, like Calgary Flames jerseys. We do you can imagine like tons of branded stuff. It's just the reason we like it is because it's wearable, it's usable, and it represents our city, right? So it's like, we're collaborative in our city, and we really like, you know, we want to give back and support people, the communities in our city, charities in our city, and grow the bond of our city. And this is a great way to rep your city, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's really cool if you're, you know, to be doing that, and it kind of shows that, that community support. And I think, you know, as a, you know, a team, you know, if you're really, going to kind of make a name for yourself within a certain community, you know, showing that community pride, I think is really important.
And long-term too, like, you know, I may want to move to Scottsdale one day and work abroad for, you know, a few months and be able to just manage like the back end stuff, the leads, the ISA department, whatever. Right. And it's hard to pull back from that. If it's your name, it's your face, your everything. Right. And this allows us like, and this brokerage model too, really allows us to, like just the ability to plug people in under our operations manager. Right. So we can provide him the financial support, the hiring support, the marketing, all the other systems in that. But all he has to do is train those people, nurture those people, and the downline can support that. Plus we can support them with business. It's just a great model to be able to, take care of everybody in your organization, you know, healthily, right? Without having to be in sales yourself.
Right. Absolutely. And one of the other things that, you know, mentioned as a something that you're really interested in talking about is artificial intelligence and how you guys are using that within your business.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, it's a space that I think there's going to be. It's such a disruptor, and it's one of those that I think a lot of people, myself, like, have a hard time even wrapping your head around how far it's going to go. I mean, on the content side, I could go to Canva and in 20 minutes create 1,000 pieces of unique content of just reels with text and sliding images. And it's just all punched in through like Excel files and uploaded content. Right. So there's just a ton of, I wrote a blog yesterday, that was basically comedians as realtors. So like famous comedians. And if they were realtors, what they'd be saying to their clients as just like a joke blog, but like the cadence, the accuracy of the way that it wrote out, these comedians, it was insane. And it was all real estate related too. Right. So, yeah, I don't know how it's going to evolve on the brokerage side, on the team side, in terms of, you know, the automation and where that will go. But I, on the marketing front, it's going to really like, it's like, I hate saying it, 'cause I feel like it's something that we've invested so much into, but I feel like, SEO space is going to be completely transformed, and we're not even there. Like with SEO, Justin Havers in our market, like he just dominates. Right. Yeah. And we've been chasing him for a long time. And now seeing with the way that like content can just be created in a snap kind of thing, and manipulated and all that. I don't know where it's going to go, but there's certain segments of the market that we're not focusing as much on. And we're trying to tailor it. So our content creation, now I have a writer who was focusing more on community content. We've kind of wrapped that and gotten most of it covered. So now it's very more engaging local content that's going to actually like draw in visitors and viewers, and that people aren't looking at it going like, cause like you can jump on a lot of sites right now in any market and just see the most generic base, like 800 word blog. That's not really useful. They're just doing it to do it. But you can write a more like 2,500 word blog that's super comprehensive. That's like our best one, moving from Calgary to, or Calgary versus Edmonton, mm-hmm. right? A neighboring city, great search, great term. And we just did a comprehensive guide of like comparing all the ins and outs of them, right?
Right. And I think, you know, some of the things that with AI, with even like that, is it's really cool is you can take it and say, hey, write this if I were to be targeting a single family, or yeah. if I'm targeting somebody downsizing. And then, you know, it can tweak that yeah. that core blog for a very specific audience.
And if you get super nerdy, like you can get it to write the code for you. Like some of these sites, like, you know, it's like we launched WordPress sites now too. So the amount of just, going from a space where you have to do all of it yourself to now, and I'm not a big even believer in the ones where you press a button and it creates you a website. I don't think that's ever going to be a replacer of a true good, you know, IDX website. But yeah, there'll be a lot of stuff that's going to make it a lot easier. I mean, agents right now, if you're not using AI, you're working too much, right? You're working yeah. way too much, right?
Especially in the content creation, because there are, yeah. I mean, you can take just, you know, using that Canva example you gave, I mean, good grief, just take every testimonial that you might have on your Google site or your Facebook page or somewhere else and throw that onto a spreadsheet and boom, you've got yourself, you know, dozens yeah. and dozens of graphics that you can start pumping out there.
Yeah. And I mean, there's even services now. I think we're working with, like, I'm big on the tech stacks too. So I don't know if you've ever been on AppSumo.com. Mm-hmm. It's a cool site, man. An agent at our first brokerage got me onto it. Basically, like, they bring on a lot of lifetime subscriptions to services that are kind of launching. And we've grabbed a few that, like, you know, would be services that we'd be otherwise paying 10, 15 bucks a month for, or 10 bucks a user for. So like Trello, we use Trello, but we have an alternative for like task management. That's Taskade. It's a great service. And the nice thing is when you get these lifetime deals, you get all the updates within the upgrades. But if you get the highest level on some of them, you can then deploy them white label to people below you, right? So in our downline, we have teams under us. I can say, hey, we got this new task management software. If you got anybody wants it in your team, you can deploy it out. Anybody that wants it on you, like, so the team leaders love it. They give it out to their agents. It's just beneficial all around.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's interesting talking to you. You know, you're getting into real estate, you know, and, you know, kind of making the change to the marketing and seeing, you know, what's out there better. You know, you kind of always have this idea of what, you know, what can I do to better myself and my business? And you're doing that in every aspect of what you're doing.
Try to. That's always the end goal, right? Is like, I feel like I heard a team leader say this once and it bothered me because the way they said it was from a malicious, a controlling stance of make it like super difficult for someone to want to leave your team. But they made it from like a financial point, like control their leads, control their whatever, right? And I have that same mindset, but I want it to be because we offer so much value. We make your life so much easier. You could leave and go do your own thing, but then you have to do all those other things. And if you just stay with us, it's on autopilot. Just do what you do best, sell homes, buy homes, and live in this ecosphere, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we're coming up to the end of 2023. What's the, you know, the next year looking like for you? And then what's, you know, the long range future goals?
Yeah, that's a tough one, man. I think always we're going to be expanding. I don't want to ever extend ourselves thin locally on our team, but I do have aspirations to start growing teams externally. And just because like there are limited things that we can share with people in our market that I can actually take and say like, here, this is our, like, we have, I think, some of the best marketing material out there. I can transplant that over to an Edmonton team. I can transplant that over to a Vancouver team. So that kind of expansion and the ability, I still think there is an SEO play with the right group of people and stuff like that. So, and even just getting the right, like, group of creators together who are like, hey, like that, listen to this and say like, hey, I'm resonating with this guy. I want to, you know, like I own 12 luxury domains from the biggest cities in our country. I'm going to launch those eventually. Like Edmonton Luxury Real Estate, we've already launched, Ottawa, Vancouver, et cetera. Cause those are all valuable things that I can collaborate with someone on and say, hey man, like I'm going to teach you how to build this site. I'm going to teach you how to do the PPC on it, teach you how to do the lead gen, and we're going to grow a team together. But you're going to do 90% of the work, right? Like I'm going to help you, but you're going to do 90% of the actual work.
Right. That's awesome. I really do appreciate you taking the time to talk with us. Where's, you know, if somebody is listening to this and does want to reach out and get more information, where's the best place for somebody to do that?
Hit me up on Instagram, Calgary Real Estate Agent. That easy. Calgary, the city, Calgary Real Estate Agent.
There you go. Can't get much easier than that.
Yeah. Prezzer, thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it.
I want to thank Cody for joining us today and can see why he's so passionate about testing and enhancing his marketing efforts. Remember, if you're interested in seeing more from Cody, I've included links in the episode description. So once again, if you think you or someone else on your team has an incredible story or real estate tips to share with our community, send us a message at feedback@smartagents.com.
Well, that wraps things up for this episode, but remember, follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts and make sure to subscribe to the Smart Agents YouTube channel. Again, I'm Michael Walter, and we'll see you on the next episode.